What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Spider-Man 3. The reason for that is we've got Venom coming out in cinemas this week. And as part of our new like retro series, we're going to be looking at different movies. And I thought, well, since we got Venom out, let's go back and look at the original movie, which was so epically awesome that I had Venom in the first time round, of Spider-Man 3, which, having watched again this week, was like, okay, this is awful.
This is pretty awful.
It was so bad watching it back. Of like, time has not been good to this movie. It was bad when it came out, but this is even worse now.
So, yes, I agree completely. Spider-Man 3, I saw it the day it came out in theaters, and then I have not seen it until this past week when I watched it for this podcast episode. That, for a superhero movie, that's basically unheard of for me. The only other superhero movie I can think of within that, say, time frame of like, say, 2000 to now that I haven't watched multiple times is Catwoman. And for much the same reason.
I haven't seen that once, yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't need to see it more than once. I did make this observation, though, when I was watching it, pretty much every negative thing in Spider-Man 3, and granted, there's a lot of it, but every negative thing in Spider-Man 3, with the exception of the graphics not aging particularly well, every problem is tied to the symbiote in some form or other. If you took the symbiote out of the story completely, everything to do with Peter, everything to do with Eddie Brock, everything to do with Venom, all of that, it's not a bad movie. The Sandman story is actually pretty solid. The Mary Jane and Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy love triangle is kind of corny, but it's not awful so long as you take that jazz dance sequence out of it, which again was Venom influenced. And it wouldn't have been a great movie. I think it would have been a fairly okay movie. It would have been bland. And I'm sure, you know, given if you cut all the Venom stuff out, you'd have to put something else in. So there would be something else floating in there, maybe an extension of the Green Goblin story. But it would not have been the travesty that we got.
No.
Even if right now, just as an amateur, completely re-editing the movie to cut out the symbiote, you might have some plot holes at the end because that fight revolves fairly heavily around Venom. But the first hour 15 minutes of the movie would actually be perfectly fine.
Yeah, there were so many problems I've got with this movie, the watching back. Like you say, the effects have not aged well. Seeing the skyscraper with the Gwen Stacy jumping, I mean, it just looked awful watching it back.
Oh,
I never really, it was kind of found a weird thing of like, I didn't actually realize it was Dallas Howard, whatever her name is, from Jurassic World. I didn't realize it was that kind of thing of like, sort of saw it and I'm like, oh, that's her. That's where I've seen her before. Like, she's awful in this.
But she only had like 5 minutes worth of scenes too.
But she just wasn't needed.
She wasn't needed at all.
It was this whole movie. I think the trouble was apparently Venom was shoehorned in by Sony. They wanted him in there. And the script was mainly about the Sandman and they ended up squeezing him in, and to me it was always that thing of Venom was always the coolest, but one of the coolest villains, and why I'm very reluctant to go see Venom this weekend at the cinema is because they're not doing
it.
Yeah, I think it's the first weekend of October, and it's
how much I've been paying attention.
It just doesn't, you know, they at least did the right thing of connecting it to Spider-Man and making the connection with him and giving him, doing the whole black suits thing, and you know, they did all that, but that almost for me was like, they didn't, if they were going to go down that route, they didn't need the Sandman. They didn't need this. If you took the Sandman out and gave more time to Venom, or even have given him the black suit and done Venom in Spider-Man 4, that would have made more sense to kind of, because in the comic books, I always remember as well in the 90s TV series, you know, when they did Venom, they took episodes to build up to it. And this was a TV show in the 90s for kids. Even they realized that they had to spread out the black. They couldn't rush it. They had to give Spider-Man, you know, I think in the comic books, how long did they have that black suit on in before they did Venom?
Not as long as you think, but it was at least several issues because he got it in the original Secret Wars. And it they built it up because it was one of those things where there was like he'd wake up on the side of a skyscraper, or he would realize at some point that he had been out all night beating up crooks and he couldn't remember doing it. And they built it up over several issues, and then, you know, he went into the clock tower at the church and it fell off and went into Eddie Brock. But even then, I think it was another at least issue, possibly two issues before Brock came back as Venom. Yeah. And they like you said, they really did build up to it. And also going back a little bit further there, you mentioned there was some, you know, the director, Sam Raimi, didn't want to do Venom. I've heard the same report, and it would explain a lot if that is in fact true, that Sam just did not want to do Venom and Sony was like, no, you're doing Venom. And this could very easily be seen as Sam just going, all right, I don't want to do this, so I'm just going to tank the heck out of this movie. Because like I said, the parts that are not about Venom are perfectly fine.
Yeah, see, I do have a problem with the Sandman, of the fact that I didn't like how they recoiled the thing with Uncle Ben of him.
Oh, yeah, I did
him.
Not like that.
I didn't like that at all, because it was like, you stop trying to shoe. It's one of those things with Spider-Man, and having just completed the Spider-Man video game, it's that kind of thing of stop shoehorning in every single villain into Peter's life. It's like Sandman killed Uncle Ben, and it's like, no, we didn't need that. We didn't need it. I like, you know, the fact of him trying to do it for his kid and all the rest of it was reason enough alone. We didn't need that final bit of, you know, oh, it was actually a different person and let's recall it. It's like that. It was completely unnecessary. And it was like, you're just trying to make it a little bit more personal. And it's like, it didn't need it. It didn't need that thing for it.
No. And I think the reason they included, I'm speculating here, is they needed that little push that would drive Peter over the edge to get to the symbiote, where, because originally at that point he had locked it away in the locker. He had promised Dr. Connors that he would not use the symbiote and all that. And then, oh my goodness, this man, the guy who killed Uncle Ben, I'm so angry and roar and stuff. So it was the motive to get him to put the black suit on, which of course then snowballs into everything else. So once again, symbiote causing the problem. If they had included that in the Sandman story without Venom, if they had used a different villain, Green Goblin, Hobgoblin, whatever, and they still had the bit where Sandman turned out, oh, he was actually, I would 100% be with you. It's like, this is not necessary at all. And in fact, it's a really stupid update.
Yeah, but I also didn't really think much of the Green Goblin or New Goblin or whatever they want to call it, because you know, him there on his surfboard, you know, on his, you know, it just like, no, that just looks stupid. And then he's got a stupid mask on and then he can't remember anything. And it just, every part of this was just like, it's like, no wonder the movie ended and they completely rebooted the series, because, you know, they were setting stuff up for obviously for the Lizard, but they literally just were like, this movie is just not working at all.
Yeah.
It failed a bit. I mean, Mary Jane Watson as well, she's there just being whiny. Just, you know, it's like, I never really liked her much in the whole of the three movies. I always felt she was miscast and it just, she didn't work. And it was just that kind of thing of, you know, like, it's not all about you, because basically you got fired but not telling him. So how is, like, it's supposed to be on Broadway that he's going to find out?
Well, I mean, I thought the idea was she wasn't telling him because he had a bunch of other stuff going on. It wasn't that she was trying to hide it because she was embarrassed. It just, he needed support at the time, and she realized she didn't want to pile her own stuff on. I have to admit, I don't really agree. And you're not the only person who said it. I don't really agree that she's particularly whiny in this. She does have a few moments of that, but I always felt she was justified. Peter was being a complete jerk to her.
Yeah.
You know, he was being very self-centered. He was being very self-focused. He was not listening to what she was telling him. I have to say, for the most part, I sided with her, and I was actually a little disappointed that she got back with him at the end of the movie. It was just like, no, you need to move on. Plus, in addition, assuming the series would have continued, then possibly he would have gotten together with Gwen Stacy, and then we would have gotten the Gwen Stacy arc with Green Goblin. But, you know, they killed Goblin again at the end of this movie. So whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of weird now, because like you look at it now and like now you think of like the Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, and
I try not to.
They, you know, you had, you know, you had the Lizard and you had Electro, and they did all the Gwen Stacy stuff, and it's almost that kind of thing of like, did they take what they had planned and just reshuffled it a little bit? Because if you almost think like they carried on with Tobey Maguire and kind of done it, you know, and they could have, that it does actually look at like they did try and tweak it a little bit, so it could have. I know they did completely do a reboot, but that whole thing of like, because I always felt the thing with the Amazing Ones, which we would talk about in other episodes, but it's that thing of Gwen Stacy was completely pushed too much in the other way in that one. It was just very, very odd. Spider-Man 3 is strange. Venom just didn't work. They, I think he, again, that guy that played him from 70s Show.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, he just felt miscast as well.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the miscasting, because with the exception of Topher and arguably Kirsten, I actually liked her as MJ, but I understand a lot of people didn't. When I think about the Spider-Man casting, it's mostly from these movies, this particular trilogy, where I'm kind of like, these are the prototypes for the characters that I've got in my head. Aunt May was perfectly cast. J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson is fantastic. I would kill to have him back in as the role over in the MCU or whatever. The guy who played Robinson, the, you know, the second in command at Daily Bugle, was really well done. What's his name as James James Cromwell as Captain Stacy was kind of wasted because he was in the movie for like 3 minutes. But even Uncle Ben, for the short period of time that he was in the movie and the trilogy, he was really well cast. I might be getting the name wrong, but Thomas Hayden Church, the guy who played Sandman, was actually really well done.
Yeah, he's a bit of an odd one, like, because I don't really like him. I don't know what it is. It's just something about him that as it, but it did work in some ways, because the Sandman is kind of all right. It wasn't horrendous, but I could see how they maybe looked at him. He wasn't strong enough on his own to be a big enough player against Spider-Man, but. And it was that kind of thing as well of, you look back now we've had, I mean, Andrew Garfield was always, I think, the worst choice out of the three. Because Tobey Maguire, you know, he still was the first person to play him on the screen. And he had that teenage look a little bit more than Andrew Garfield did.
I thought that Tobey was a much better Peter Parker than Andrew was, but I always thought Garfield was a better Spider-Man, if that makes sense. So, like, if I had to put Garfield in the mask, because he was better at quipping, he was better at you know, that kind of playfulness of Spider-Man, but Tobey was always better as the, you know, the nerd next door, awkward, geeky guy, and then you can debate whether or not Tom Holland fits in any of those as well, but for me, Peter Parker is generally Tobey Maguire. I did want to finish the one thought, though. The one character who I could never, you've already mentioned him, was James Franco as Green Goblin. His performance in this trilogy, not just this movie, but in the trilogy as a whole, for the longest time, it was like any movie that Franco was in, I was like, this movie is going to be awful. It had imprinted on me how bad an actor Franco was. And it wasn't until maybe 127 Hours or another one of his movies were like, oh, actually, no, he's a pretty good actor. He just wasn't good in Spider-Man. And even if you go back to some other movies from the time period that he did, he's not awful, and he's definitely grown a lot as an actor, but his roles in these Spider-Man movies kind of stuck with me for a while, where I was just like, nope, I don't want to watch Franco movies. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, cool. He's actually a pretty solid actor. Leonardo DiCaprio is actually in a similar boat with that, because I remember watching him like back in the Titanic days, Man in the Iron Mask. I was like, this guy's got no talent at all. He's just a really pretty face. And now I'm like, yeah, bring it on. The Departed, that movie is fantastic. I'll watch that all day long.
I remember getting Departed and watching. Didn't get it. I know what you mean with Leonardo. I was like, yeah, he doesn't. I get it. And Jane Franco is kind of that same thing as well. Of doesn't really play it as well. It was just an odd movie. Spider-Man 3 as a whole is awful. it will be reminded as the movie that tanked the Spider-Man franchise the first time around. And yeah, it's just watching it back, it was like, this has not aged well. And yeah, it just wasn't very good.
No, and you take all the problems that it had initially and you add on the problems that come with the aging special effects. They do not stand up at all, especially even compared to the Amazing Spider-Man movies, which weren't that much later than it. The special effects are just not on the same level. I will say this, I will give it credit. Regardless of what you think of Franco as the Goblin or that design for Green Goblin, I don't know, call him Green Silver Surfer or whatever. That first fight scene where he shows up and he ambushes Peter is actually a pretty solid fight scene. You know, they're going all through the city. They're tearing up the city. They're going through the alleyways. Bombs are exploding. The little batarangs that are pumpkins flying around. That was actually a really cool fight. And then it was just all downhill from there.
Yeah, it was very odd. But we'd love to know what you guys thought of Spider-Man 3. Let us know in the comments below or on social media. You can check us out over at thiskingdom.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe. And James, where can they find you?
Find me at heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later. Webs away.